transitional cell carcinomas. They're giving me BCG in my blood.
I'll go ahead and call us to order for a regularly scheduled Board of Health meeting, August 4th. First item on our agenda is the consent agenda. All these items will be considered enacted by one motion unless somebody needs something they want to pull off of there and discuss. And if not, I'll take a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Passion?
Aye.
Kluge?
Aye.
Dvorak?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Consent agenda has been approved. Next is the public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Not seeing a stampede toward the microphone. Agency and departmental reports. Youth and Shelter Services, Denise Denton.
And Laura
Bell. Welcome.
Did we get new?
You got new microphones.
Wow. Those are kind of space age. And don't move them.
Cannot move the microphone.
Okay,
Well, my name is Laura Bell, and I'm a Specialized Prevention Services Coordinator with YSS, so I do tobacco control in the county. So what I brought up for you today was our 2014 Iowa Youth Survey results. So there's two different copies of this. This is what I'm talking about is the black and white version. So this is covering just the questions related to tobacco use. Act of our youth in Story County. As you can see, kind of the concerns that I found were more that we were kind of wavering around that 1% mark. We've increased by 1% in most of our questions asked, which anytime you see an increase, that's always going to be a concern for me, particularly when it comes to use. So if you look to the back pages where it's, I think it's page 132. Tobacco use has gone up by like 1% or so across the board. But when you come to the e-cigarettes, that's where it gets a little bit more interesting. This is the first time that they've asked this question on the Iowa Youth Survey. And so, according to 11th grade, like 8% of 11th graders reported using e-cigarettes in the past 30 days. And then 2% of 6th graders reported past 30-day use of e-cigarettes also. The 8th grade, there was no report, which I find really interesting because I've heard from schools that their 8th graders, that some of their 8th graders are using these things. So I don't know, maybe they were sick that day. I'm not sure what happened with those kids. So I wanted to bring this to your attention. Some of the other concerns that I saw were just kind of access to cigarettes, students feeling like it was easy to access cigarettes in their communities, which obviously, anytime you make something more accessible, it's easier for the person to use it. So just want to bring some concerns to your attention regarding what we're seeing with tobacco use, is particularly amongst youth in the county. There's also been some changes to Quitline, Iowa. So previously, I've been here to talk about how Quitline, Iowa offers a free 8-week supply of the nicotine patch, gum, or lozenge to qualifying Iowans who are 18 and older. Starting July 1, that changed. So now, as of July 1, it's just uninsured Iowans who are 18 and older who register the calls can receive that 8-week supply of either nicotine patch or gum or lozenge. The Medicaid benefits will remain the same. So that's been the only change with that, so that people are aware of that as well. Other things we're working on in the county are tobacco-free and nicotine-free workplace policy, so congratulations to the county on your new policy. I've already talked with Alyssa about just kind of making myself available for any resources that may be of need. Also, we're working on getting out to dental clinics to promote the ask, advise, refer consultations with our patients. So asking every time a patient comes in if they use tobacco, advising them to stop if they do, and then referring them on if they're ready within the next 30 days. And then we're also working on tobacco-free, nicotine-free workplace policies, but for the more of like the business community, not necessarily the county-wide as well. So any questions for me?
I believe so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the other handout that also speaks to kids smoking and vaping in the color version, I just thought it's easier to see that with the color. There's, and I wanted to just reiterate that that is a concern, and, yeah, we can't explain the eighth graders. They'll usually happily run into any burning building, so the fact that they didn't report out on that is very curious because, again, we've had a lot of anecdotal reports of that, particularly at Ames Middle School, in bathrooms and in the garbage, so... Again, I'm with Laura. I think maybe all those kids were just sick on that given day, or they just didn't quite answer the question. But, you know, one of the things that we always look for is there an increase in anything, and certainly the vaping has become more predominant. And so, again, thank you for the effort that the Board of Health and the Board of Supes has done on that. We're really pleased with that. And I did send you, Paul, the signage that right. the state is going to make available. I called down yesterday, and they had just... agreed to release the signage, so I've ordered 12 for Story County and a couple dozen door queens that you can put on county buildings, and
sure.
reserving the one so I can go wave it in front of the Ames City Council, and who are working on the language for that. So I think we anticipate that the City of Ames will come up with an ordinance for public spaces in Ames very soon, and there is a memo circulating at the university saying that they want to get it done by January. So I think that will be coming to fruition very soon, and then, of course, you know, we'll probably come back to you and say, can we do that in the whole county? And but that's for another day. That's another meeting. But thank you for that. I really do think that the county moved very quickly on that. Anytime you can move forward any kind of environmental strategy in under a year, I think, is lightning fast. So we're very pleased with that. And I will get you that signage. Like I mentioned in my email, I bet they don't overnight it to me just because I asked. But as soon as they can, and I foolishly didn't just hand them the courthouse address because they would send it to okay. a street address. I had them send it to YSS, but I will drive it over as soon as they arrive.
Thank you.
So along those lines, you have the quarterly report that we put out every quarter on sort of everything we do in a variety of our grants. What is not in there, for whatever reason, are the compliance checks that we worked with City of Ames and Story County sheriffs on this last year. We got a sort of an extra piece of money that went specifically to compliance checks, and although it was not perfect, we did come in at 85%, and we were sort of ballparking that it would be good at about 70%. The Story County Sheriff's Department, bless them, took out a copy to every business that they were going to check, took out a letter, hand-delivered it, and there were a few places that passed the first time but evidently didn't believe that they'd be back a second time and failed the second check. But it was really pretty good, so we were pleased with that. But that money now has gone away, although, the sheriffs and the police department will continue to do those checks, but they won't be able to do them certainly at the level that extra money, you know, goes to buying the stuff and paying the young people who do it and the extra deputy time. But we were pretty pleased with that. One of the things that we gave you are some things that we're starting to hand out to students and around the community. One is the Paula bookmark that we're going to be giving to high school and college students. We think it's terribly clever. We don't know if any students are going to appreciate it. But it does explain, you know, what a Paula is. A Paula is possession under the legal age. And we thought that money might talk with them, and so we put it in terms that we thought college and high school students might understand, like, you know, how many tanks of gas would that be worth? Because Apollo is $330. So, and I had that on good authority from some of my college students who mentioned that this spring, that they knew of people.
I like your particularly 1,650 packs of ramen.
Yeah.
I thought that was that's relatable. That's very relatable.
It fixed you, doesn't it?
That's exactly right.
That's a semester right there.
That's right.
So, and the other one is a piece that we're handing out to make sure that people are aware of where they need to put their over-the-counter and prescription medications, where they can dispose of them. We asked the Ames Police how that's been going. They empty the container just about every other day, and from January to the end of June, they had about 350 pounds, 337 and change, I think, poundage. They don't take out the packaging, so part of the reason they have to, you know, empty it every other day is just a lot of room is taken up in just cardboard.
Yeah.
But really pleased with how well that's been received. That makes a difference. So we're going to be leaving those around at wherever they'll let us leave them so people are aware of that.
And this is the right way to do it because, you know, when I was growing up, you flushed it down the toilet.
It tells you right there.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's okay if you live in the country and you have a septic system, but.
This is a very, very good piece of information because you don't know how many times we get this question in the clinic about where we can put some, take your child off Ritalin, where we can put it, where we can take it. And
would you like some of those for the clinic?
That's kind of what I was kind of getting at.
I can make that happen.
Thank you very much.
I've been cutting those up all morning, and we can do some more.
I would really appreciate it.
Okay, we'll make that happen. That's pretty easy. The other thing that I wanted to mention, and I meant to at the last meeting, was I don't know if you're aware that Story County has a critical incidence response team. That, when there is, and this happens all the time, accidents and fatalities, and we've got people all over the county, we've got people all over the Midwest who show up to deal with that, you know, volunteer rescue squads and EMTs and the sheriff's department and all those people, and they see some just awful, awful situations. And in those cases, I like the way they, you know, the phrase that they use, if you walk on the beach enough, you're going to get some sand in your shoes. And, you know, when those kinds of particularly awful situations happen, it is advised, and we like to help out with a debriefing. And so there are a group of volunteers in Story County, people from the fire department and Mary Greeley and police department and the deputies and people like myself and other, there are several private clinicians, mental health professionals that help with those debriefings. Last summer, did like three in a row. We had a particularly awful situation with a young person being killed on the bike. And particularly, I think, when it is young people, people feel extra bad because no one wants to see somebody's life cut really short. But in any situation, and so I just want you to know that those people show up no matter what, and they are all volunteers, and they get not a dime for it. And they go as far as I know that they helped with the Parkersburg tornado a few years ago, and I did one in Albion this spring. What am I thinking? But you never know when they're going to happen. And Holly Levick is with the Huxley Rescue Squad, and she is sort of in charge of it. She sends out an email, and then people start answering. And we meet about quarterly to sort of get everybody in the room and get your head together and make sure that everybody knows what they're doing. And I never cease to be amazed at how amazing these people are. And usually if it's a situation where there was a fire, then somebody from the fire department will lead the debriefing. And people like me are just there to, you know, pour coffee, really. But so it's really those people who, it's not usually their job to do mental health things, and yet they really step up and do that. And we are just so fortunate that we have those people who show up at those situations in the first place. And that then they are willing to take the time to talk that through and make sure that everybody in their group is fine. And I am just so in awe of those people. So I just think it bears saying that we're amazingly fortunate to have those people that we do going to, you know, those situations, and other people who are willing to help them. So I consider them sort of unsung heroes. Anyway, that's it. What questions do you have?
Hmm?
Any questions?
No.
Questions?
No, please don't.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Next, we'll have our first presentation from our new public health director, Kyle Fries. And we can't forget Terry. You're just not new.
No, I'm not new. I'm pretty old.
I apologize. I didn't get a detailed agenda out in advance. You know, please forgive me as I lend a step to this dance. I'll get it, though. I'll pick it up. I'm going to let Terry lead off with an activity report, and then I'll give you just a recounting of our local public health contract from fiscal 15, and then take a look at community health needs assessment going forward. So,
okay. Terry, go ahead. Well, my report's very, very short. The diseases for May and June, actually, these are diseases listed for May and the first half of June because we haven't received a reportable disease in our county since June 16th, which I cannot remember that ever happening. And still, we're still since June 16th, and it's August 4th. Yeah. Well, the college kids just came back this weekend, so we'll see how long it lasts. But, but anyway, it has been an awfully quiet summer. We did have one exercise going on to emergency management or emergency preparedness with our coalition, with the Boone Story Coalition. We had a volunteer management exercise on the 17th of June. And RSVP, or the Retired Volunteer Senior Volunteer Program, was involved in that with us as well. So, and so that fiscal year ended at the end of June, and so now we have a new set of capabilities that we're working on for this year. And I think I have those listed. Emergency public information and warning, information sharing, medical countermeasures dispensing, and that is a like a pod or a point of dispensing clinic, and then responder safety and health. So otherwise, our senior health clinics and our immunization clinics continue to be pretty darn busy. So, does anyone have any questions with that? All right.
Thank you. And if you just want to pull up a two-page report that just gives a recounting of the fiscal 15 local public health grant spend and the activities related to that. I don't know if you want me to read through all that. I won't unless you want me to, but if there are any questions coming out of that, I'd be happy to address. The good news is we did spend all the money and we were able to utilize that appropriately through the end of the year. And yeah, looks good. Okay. And then looking ahead, the Story County Quality of Life Alliance has been meeting as we prep for the community health needs assessment, which will be due in early winter of 2016. So right now we've been in the process for Story County through the through that coalition, which is deemed the coalition of coalitions, assessing, bringing in priorities together. We've sent out a survey to the Quality Alliance group, which is I believe about 80 to 90 members, and right now we're just taking some responses back, trying to gather an inventory of who is addressing which activities that relate to those priorities, and trying to help set a path for where our strengths might be and where the opportunities might be. And that's where we're at with that.
Okay.
We don't mind short.
Okay, absolutely.
Because we have Margaret.
In the recently, there's been in the news high levels of mercury in the kids and the aging population from fishing in the rivers around here. Are we screening people?
For mercury?
Mercury.
Not in the public health arena, we have not. Haven't had any requests.
There's some extremely high levels down in the Des Moines area.
Mm-hmm.
From eating fish out of the rivers.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say, Margaret, do you have anything to add to that?
I always see educational things about, you know, eating not fish and how
it's
don't eat too much fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for that very reason.
I mean, this is out of local rivers, not out of commercial.
Yeah.
You ought to see, you know, certain ethnic groups fishing on.
Right, and usually, you know, if there's a concern in our county, they'll put that out there. We'll be notified, but we haven't yet. So.
That's a good question. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And last but not least, Margaret Jane.
I'll make
it extra
long.
I heard it.
All right.
Let's see here. Oh, did you guys make it? Oh, okay. There it is. Got it. Thank you. Hello, Joe.
This reminds me of my last 2 weeks. I've gotten a new computer and a new office, and I have nothing but computer problems, and I'm just about ready to tear my hair out. You don't realize how dependent you are on your computer until you're having problems. So. Okay, so good afternoon. I'll start. Oops, wait. Okay, I'll start off with the pool tattoo tanning program, and I apologize. That slide is really too small.
Make that any smaller.
Yeah, so, you know, I cut and paste, so that's what that is.
I really don't.
So 64 pool things investigated. So it's a pool, it's a spa, it's a slide, all of those things, 64 of them is what my staff inspected this year. A really good job. And then 17 special ones, and that's follow-up ones or brand-new pools. We meet the state engineer and do the pool inspections. And then of those things, there were 45 violations noted. A lot of them are paperwork-type violations, which aren't dangerous. There have been a few dangerous ones. One that I experienced was it was a pool at an apartment building, and the gate was not latching ever, you know. So, and then you saw all these little trikes and things around. So I harped on him, and he got it done right away, you know, because that kind of thing is very dangerous. Whereas not reporting their pH or whatever, not so bad. Tattoo, 6 inspections and 2 follow-ups and 5 violations, and most of that was, according to Kathy, they were not posting their previous inspection, and that's always nice to know for people that are going in and getting tattoos done. And then for the tanning program, 15 it looks like. Yell it out, Kristen. You can't read that? Okay.
Okay, I can't read it. What is this like? 19 tanning. And then not any predominant violations going on.
But we got them all done, and this is the annual report that the state likes to see, and then also all our procedure and policy we have to write up, and there's a whole little bundle that goes down to the state every year, but this is kind of it in a nutshell. These are bigger. Septic systems, we're down, still kind of down this year. We've had 43 new and 7 repair permits go in. So we'll see. It's kind of interesting. This month, it seems like we've gotten a lot more compared to the previous years for this time slot. And there's no predicting it. It's just kind of interesting. Grants to counties. Kathy put this information together. So this is for the fiscal year, which ended July 1. We were offered $36,000. We were only able to spend $22,000. And with that money, we plugged 23 wells, renovated 4, and 107 wells were tested. Disclosure. The ordinance is sitting in the inbox of an attorney somewhere, waiting for the final approval on that. So I guess if I don't get an answer soon, I'll just go with it, because we haven't changed it that much from the initial review. So now this fiscal year, do you remember disclosure or just grand total? Well, maybe 19, I don't know. Okay, hidden. Running total. Okay, so on file. So in other words, 76 applications came in, planning and zoning or with us. It looks like, no wastewater. So we replaced 3 systems because of this. And then depending on an inspection report for others. So that's pretty good. 3 that would have gone undetected and free to go. So enforcement, 7 outstanding time of transfer binding agreements. None are overdue. Those are ones that are going to be demolished or put a system in this year. 4 new notice of violations, 2 sewage which were abated, and 2 failure to hook up to city sewer. One was Huxley, one was Ames. And we're getting that worked out. We're getting darn close to pipe hookup. And then 7 complaints in 2015, a lot about Crestview, and then there's the Fernald Rolling Hills, which is a mobile home park, and then one feedlot runoff complaint. For Hickory Grove watershed update, we've got two new systems that went in this month, so five of total. And then I met with Lisa Markley with accounting, and we're going to amend the budget so that the money that wasn't spent in 2015 can be now spent in 2016 fiscal year. And then sat down with conservation and wrote up the annual report for that. Crestview update, you know, that's a moving target. It's so we're slowly getting a few trailers taken off of that. Here's some pictures to look at. This was a sewage discharge right into the Lincoln Highway ditch there. Really high BOD. That's my sample bottle there. So DNR knows about it, and then also, but he was able to stop that and fix it within a few days. Here's another one. This was a complaint on, this is, they're taking water from the neighbor's well and adding it to their public water supply. Can't do that. electrical source from one trailer to another, and then just some, you know, some trash sites. And then a lot of illegal burning going on, but pretty good at just making it sound like, oh, that was always there, you know. So it's just really hard to pin him down on stuff and to get him to change his way of doing business. For trainings, I've been doing the C2C county planning session, the strategic planning, and then also the Slater source water protection meetings. Kathy did the bloodborne pathogen certification required for the PTT program, and she's been our representative for the COOP-COG, which is the continuity of business if there's a disaster. Matt and Kristen both went to the ESRI conference in San Diego. I'm not even going to. Okay, so the county strategic plan. So I was on the water quality group, and one of the things that kind of affects this group is that I'm recommending that we, in the next 3 years, go on an educational program for teaching people how to, or educating people to pump their tanks and maintain their systems, and then eventually lead down the path of having that a requirement for pumping their tanks every 5 years. State of Minnesota does that. No county in the state of Iowa does that, but I think we may as well take the lead on it, you know. And just a long time. I think it's more of an educational thing now. And if you have a problem with that, let me know, and I will, you know, rethink this process. But I think it's a good, it certainly can't hurt the first few years, and then going to an ordinance, we'd have a discussion at that point in time. And the other ones were mostly had to do with conservation folks, so I won't go through those. This thing. Iowa Public Health Gaining Ground Coalition. I talked about this a little bit, I think two meetings ago, where it was public health accreditation and how it would be pretty expensive, I think to the tune of around $25,000 renewal every 5 years. And then just today we got a funding opportunity to hook up with like one to three other counties to do self-assessments to see if we would be accreditation ready. And that is for, the project is for, you know, a little less than a year, and to the tune of $13,000. And I do need input from the board to see if you want me to pursue that, apply for it, and see if we get it. You do have to be somewhat serious about going forward with getting accreditation. If you don't want to do that at all, then we probably don't have any business applying for this grant. Let me finish this talk, and then you guys can decide that. Miscellaneous, so I've been doing the C2C thing, and then for the HON alerts, I know Cherry gets them, and we just got Paul signed up for that. And the blue-green algae, it seems like to be the only alerts we've been getting lately. We're troubleshooting on a mound, and that was from a time of transfer inspection. These ones that are real borderline, it's really hard, so they get the county involved to go out and give a third opinion on whether or not a system has failed. They're real tricky sometimes, especially when it's as wet as it's been. It's hard to say what else going on. So we continue to do that. We've also had some peak filter problems, I think mostly damage by the installer, so that's been a lot of time trying to be the mediator between the owner and the guy that installed it and the service provider. Spent a lot of time on that. Just an FYI, Story County now has a county garden. We have tomatoes and cruciferous vegetables so far this year. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Where is it?
Just across the street, south.
South. It's where the vacant lot where that big old brick house used to stand.
Yeah. So it's small this year, but we're, gaining ground. It's fun. On one of the projects, they submitted an application for septic, a Moffitt there, and I turned around and required an engineering design. They wanted to put a sand filter in on fill, and I just wasn't comfortable. I didn't want the responsibility of that, so I had them hire their own engineer and draw it up. I participated in a meet and greet with the planning and development interview folks, as did Kristen. So we got to meet the candidates, and the new person will be starting, I think, on the 18th. For planning and development. There's a new vineyard in the county with doing a septic on. They don't have their grapes in the ground yet, but it's starting.
Where's that?
Just south of Storybrook Orchard, just across E18. South there.
Yeah, I know.
And then a Durango safety recall for airbags. Blah. Yeah, it could explode on your driver's side. And they can't replace them yet because they don't have all the parts. So.
Probably should have waited to tell you. So they had the parts.
Well, kind of, yeah.
That's how they do it now. They can do that's how they do it for all recalls now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the except with all these bad airbags. These people are months and months away from being able to get them replaced.
So just so you know.
So they're all driving around like this.
Yeah.
I'd rather. let's see what else. Oh, that's it. That wasn't that long. That was, 15-ish?
Sorry, I said anything. It was just a joke.
Oh, was it a joke? But I do need some feedback on that.
I don't think that we were. I don't think we were really committed to it a couple of months ago or a couple of meetings ago. And if it's going to require this $25,000 approximately, expense every 5 years for a renewal.
Yeah. I don't know how committed we are to do it if we get this grant, but I think
right.
We have
but
to
I
do
think if that's part of the deal, I don't think that. I mean, for me, I don't think I'm overly interested in applying for the grant.
What's the benefit to us?
Yeah,
benefit would be $13,000. That would be in our coffers, and it would be work done by the staff. But that's extra work for us that we don't really need.
Can you come up here to the mic? So we can get you on record.
Oh.
Absolutely.
So, I do know that they are, there's one county currently certified.
Lynn County.
And the State Department of Public Health hasn't quite made their own decision if they're going to get FAB certified or not. At a regional meeting last Friday, a couple counties had taken advantage of those funds but weren't necessarily committed to going into certification. Really, they're using the funds to bring meetings together and getting someone out of the Department of Public Health to help coordinate those meetings, help give them things to discuss. And they're taking, there's 12 domains. They're taking one domain a year and seeing how the effort it would take to get up to snuff, if you will, for meeting that. So from our perspective, we've heard quite a bit, but we're still hearing no consensus that even the state themselves is that interested in moving forward for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, let's wait and see what happens. I mean, I don't think it's fair to anybody for us to try to take advantage of the grant money simply to say that we've got this extra grant money.
Right.
And if we're not committed, if this isn't something that we're committed to going forward with, and I for me, I don't think I'm in favor of a plan.
Okay. Well, I just thought, maybe instead of closing that door, just leaving it ajar, and that would and with this grant money. I know Calhoun County is seriously considering it as well, which surprised me because they're not a big, big county, and then what they are offering
you know, they're saying that maybe there'll be grant money tied to accredited agencies. So if you're not accredited, you don't qualify for grants in the future. I don't know. So, and that would probably hurt you guys more than us guys, you know, the medical public health.
Unless you see it otherwise, I think if we wait and see how this all shakes out before we...
I'd agree.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a no. Jeff?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any staff comments? Any board comments? If not, I think I would take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay.
The motion is second for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. For adjournment.